All right, so let's jump into this. I am Caleb Hardwick, your podcast host, and with me here are Noah and Seth.
I'm Noah, your co-host.
I'm Seth. What am I?
Your co-host. You're the third mate.
I'm the third mate.
Yeah.
Is that kind of like a third musketeer?
I was thinking more like an ensign, but you know.
Ensign?
Yeah.
So is this...
Am I like the third...
Is this a ship? Or a, yeah. Or so like spaceship?
You're Captain Caleb, and I'm First Officer Noah, and that's Ensign Seth.
Yeah, you kind of are. If this is Star Trek, you probably are the most Vulcanish in the family.
Well, Vulcans aren't
so
always
what
First
am I
Officer.
Again?
It seems like they usually are.
Well, they are on the original series.
Okay. Well, anyway, so we have...
Am I the pilot?
Sure.
Which means that I get to have the chair, and I get to sit in it, and I get to be the finest captain and the finest podcast in the Federation.
Yeah, except your chair is actually a bench.
Yeah, it's
but
true.
But I'm pretty sure that if both of you die, then the position goes to me.
Is that how that works, Noah?
Something like that, yeah. I mean, since there's only three of us, I think that's how it would work.
Okay, so if I die, then you become the podcast
acting
host?
Captain, yes.
Okay.
And that makes me first mate.
This is bad news for me. When your brothers have, you know, a motivation to kill you off so they can be the host of the podcast. Okay. So, yeah, normally this is where I would ask you what you've been doing, but I can pretty much tell everybody what y'all have been doing. Noah has been working. Seth has been doing school. And I guess on top of that, Noah, you've been watching Star Trek, as
correct.
We've established. And Seth, you've been working tirelessly on Legos.
That is true. Probably, like, I'd say Legos first, then probably school, but, you know.
Yeah, his priorities right now are Legos, then school, then homework.
Yeah, something like that. But that'll change after SpaCon.
So what have you been building?
Well, the whole problem I have had is the fact that all of my Lego buildings... are on one road height level, and I built a whole bunch of new roads that are at a new height level, so I had to go back and completely rebuild every single one of my buildings so that they would match the new road height level. This past week, I've been working mainly on the bottle factory.
So, Noah, you've been mostly watching Star Trek Voyager?
Yep.
Which character on Star Trek Voyager is your favorite?
Oh, the Doctor, for sure.
The Doctor, yeah. I like him, too.
Wait, the one that's like a robot guy?
He's a hologram.
Hologram.
Hologram. So, yeah, Seth's been doing Legos. Noah's been watching Star Trek and
what
working.
Have you been doing, Caleb?
Okay. Yesterday, I went for a long walk. I walked to Fred's, and I bought a new journal so that I could do my notes for Sunday and for the group that I teach with. Interesting story. I told Mama this. When I was at the Fred's parking lot, I found a golf ball.
Did it smell like tar?
The Fred's parking lot? No, but the Harps parking lot really does. If you haven't tried, just go to the Harps in Haskell and just smell it. But yeah, imagine that there's a golf ball at the Fred's in Haskell. What if you found a golf ball in the parking lot there, what would you think?
Somebody's got really bad aim, but are very strong.
Exactly. I mean, there's a golf course, of course, like kind of catty corner from it, but to hit a golf ball that far, I mean, how was...
That's like 300 yards in the wrong direction.
Yeah. First off, you've got an amazing swing. Second off, you really need to aim better.
The hole is the complete opposite direction.
Yeah, so I went for a long walk yesterday. I like to pick up junk along the side of the road. I picked up like this... some sort of like little piece that would go on the back of a car, like a, you know, a badge that had fallen off a car.
That's cool.
Yeah. So I put it in my box of stuff here in my room that
Caleb,
I pick up along the side of the road.
What is the strangest thing you've picked up on the side of the road?
That's a good question. I once picked up like a pair of vice grips and a pair of, not really, okay, not a pair, but a wrench. A pair of vice grips and a wrench. Why is it called a pair of vice grips? I mean, there's only one.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, why is it called a pair of pants? You only wear one at a time. Why is it called a pair? Is each leg a pant?
Maybe so.
I think we need to consult a dictionary on that one.
I think we need to look up the etymology of the word pants. All right, so do we have any questions to start us off with?
I was looking up the word pant.
If you're listening to this podcast, please let us know the origin of the word pants.
Yes, thank you. All right, so let's move into a question. Do we have a question?
Yes, we actually do have a question, and I was going to ask you, while you were at Fred's, did you happen to buy any Oreos?
Negative. I wish I had, but negative.
Because that's what our question's about. And it's, in your opinion, what is your favorite flavor of Oreo? And what do you think about the fancy flavors of Oreos, like lemon or peanut butter?
Honestly, I don't know if I've ever even had anything besides the normal one. I mean, I think double stuff is the way to go. Don't get me
wrong.
What
about triple stuff?
But that's not a different flavor. Triple stuff might be too much, you know.
And then there's also like mini stuff, or it's like half of normal stuff.
Triple stuff is like, you know, triple the trans fat. So I don't know. But I don't. What do I think about it? I think other flavors are just blasphemous. I mean, an Oreo is perfect already. Why are we changing the flavor of it? Noah, that's my two cents. What do you think?
I don't like Oreos. I think they're kind of disgusting. But if I did, in most areas of food life, I'm pretty much a purist and I'm against adding stuff to it. So I suspect that I would prefer just normal Oreos if I liked Oreos.
Yep. What do you think, Seth?
I think at some point I had a lemon Oreo, which I don't remember. So... with that said, I'm going to have to go with my favorite or whatever is probably going to be with normal Oreos. But I tend to agree with you on the sense of if it's not the original flavor of something, then it's just kind of like, why would I bother?
Yeah. I mean, if it were something that was like a real flavor, then maybe it'd be good. But I mean, anything you can put in an Oreo is going to be an artificial flavor. Let's be honest, you know? And artificial flavor is just not so great. So, yep. Do we have another question?
No.
Well, I have a question for our audience.
Okay.
I really would like to know whether or not they can tell the difference in our voices apart. Because I always wonder that when I'm listening to podcasts and stuff, I lose track of who's talking because I can't tell their voices apart. So I was wondering if our audience can tell our voices apart. Because I know that some people think we sound kind of similar, but I can certainly tell the difference when I'm listening back to it. But that's probably just because, well, I know what your two voices sound like. My voice just sounds weird when I hear it. But
agreed. Your voice does sound weird when I hear it.
I think my voice sounds weird when I hear it too. So
I'll agree with that also.
Yeah. So let's see. See if you can figure out who's speaking now.
Okay, so this is Noah, and this is the way I talk on a microphone. And
this is Seth. This is the way he talks on the microphone.
And this is like Caleb, and this is like the way he talks on a microphone.
This is the way I talk on a microphone.
No, it's not.
Anyway, yeah, so he's got a good point. I know how it is frustrating it can be when you don't know who's talking, and we do have kind of similar sounding voices. So that's a good question.
I think that we should do a quick scientific test and just say like a number, each one of us, like 1 through 3, and then they can decide which person said what.
I like it. 1, 2, 3. Go to our website, hardwickpodcast.com, and tell us what you think, or go to facebook.com/hardwickpodcast and leave us a note and tell us whether or not you can tell our voices apart and tell who's talking at any given moment on the podcast.
Hi, you've reached the Hardwick Podcast.
Hello, this is Uncle Eddie.
Can you say that again?
This is Uncle Eddie.
Oh, hi, Uncle Eddie.
Whose uncle are you?
I'm all your uncles, I think. I forget. Listen, did I ever tell you about the time back in the war when I went to Somalia and I met the lady who had the fingernail polish made out of genuine Indian brandy?
No.
And there was this man there who taught us how to throw a grenade with our bare feet. And he was an Indian holy man who had two earlobes on each ear with the tattoo of President Warren G. Harding. But of course, that was back in the day when you couldn't buy an apple for a dollar like you can today. But anyway, what I called in to wonder was, well, I don't remember. But anyway, what are we talking about?
Whose uncle you are?
Right, whose uncle I am. Well, I actually have 14 nephews and 13 granddaughters. And, well, you see, one of them, they was on the Olympics, not in the Olympics, of course, but they were in the crowd, and he went to the Rio Games, but that was back when Rio was actually a Portuguese city on the coast of Brazil. Now, that was back when I was working at the tar stand, and I was selling all the fun stuff at the carnivals. But back then, carnivals were actually these motorcades that had 14 ducks in a row, and you'd get to shoot them, but when the ducks fell down, they would come back up, and then an elephant would stand on them.
That's very interesting.
What was your name again?
Uncle Eddie.
Do you have a question for us, Uncle Eddie?
No, except if I ever tell you about the time when I was living in London, and this man came up to offer me some fish and chips. Then the fish and chips jumped out of the bowl, and they swam down the river, and I chased after them in my 1947 Chevy. Of course, that was back in the days when Chevys had torpedoes on the back. So then we drove down the road, only to realize that we were not in London anymore. We had ended up in Kansas through one of those hurricane tornado deals. And so then we met the potato chip lady, and she gave us a box. And in that box were 14 marbles, one of which turned out to be the eyeball of the great Spanish pirate, Raimundo.
Strange. I really thought I saw that on TV last night. Are you sure that that's your story? You didn't just steal somebody else's?
If they stole it from me.
What other television shows have been stolen from you?
One time I was on the evening news, Pat Rogers was actually the manager for the famous wrestler, Puego. You saw Puego, you see, he would wear 14 top hats at
hold
the
on,
time.
Hold on. Isn't Puego that pasta company?
They named it after him. It's a good question. You see, Prego would love to eat spaghetti every night, but of course, his spaghetti was actually made out of jams and hams. It rhymed back in the day, because we knew how to rhyme stuff back then. Anyway, but then he discovered that tomatoes were better than the jam, and that's how he ended up with the company named Prego.
Well, we really appreciate your call.
Is there anything you'd like to tell our audience before you go?
Don't ever trust a gypsy car salesman.
Sounds like solid advice.
So
I'm sure there's a story there, but I'm afraid we don't have time for it.
Yeah, so thank you for calling Uncle Eddie of many children and nephews and nieces.
No, anytime. Now, I don't know how I got your phone number, but I'll be sure to keep it. And I'll fill you in next time when I take my trip down to the Alaskan River, because last time I was there, I was chased by this Inuit who ended up...
All right.
We seem to have lost the connection. I'm sorry we didn't get to hear the end of that story.
Yeah, maybe next time. Okay, so what we're going to do now is we're going to play a game that we're going to call, what do you want to call it, Random Bible Verse Applicator?
Sounds good to me.
Yeah. All right. So basically, the point of the game is that we're going to read a random Bible verse, and that random Bible verse we're going to give a application to. In other words, we're going to try to see who can come up with the most outrageous, bad application to the verse that we read, and whoever comes up with the best one wins the round. All right?
Sure, I got it.
Okay, so here's our first verse. You conceive chaff, you give birth to stubble. Your breath is a fire that will consume you. That's Isaiah 33:11.
What is your application, gentlemen?
This one seems pretty clear cut. I think it's pretty clearly about hygiene. I mean, just look at it. You give birth to stubble. I mean, it's obviously talking about how you really need to shave. And the part about having fiery breath is clearly referring to your halitosis problem. You really got to like the way that the Bible just, you know, right out says that you have bad breath and you need to do something about it. You got to appreciate that kind of honesty.
Well, I think this verse is talking about hot Cheetos and Takis, all right? So he's basically like, if you eat these hot Cheetos, they're gonna put some hair on your face, man. They are intense. So clearly this is an example of the Bible suggesting that we need to eat more hot foods like hot Cheetos and Takis.
Well, clearly this is actually a prophecy and building instructions of Fort Chaffee. And it's talking about how a guy named Stubble will build it. And the whole fire part of that is talking about how, you know, gold is like melted in fire. And, you know, it's like consumed all of the minerals in there. And then it's like laid out in gold bars.
Wow, that's quite an interpretation.
And remember, folks, it's in the Bible.
I'm starting to realize that it's not really going to be possible to name a winner here, so let's just go ahead and move on to the next verse. Then Moab rebelled against Israel after the death of Ahab. 2 Kings 1:1. I think this is an example of somebody living up to their potential. This verse is about living up to your dreams and accomplishing them. You see, it was always Moab's dream in life to rebel against Israel after the death of Ahab. So clearly, we shouldn't be like Ahab because he died. We should be more like Moab because he was able to live up to his God-given potential and rebel against Israel.
Well, I think I have a much simpler application for this verse, and that's pretty much kick them while they're down. You see, I mean, Israel was clearly at a low point after someone died, you know, probably mourning and all that. And that's when Moab came in and just pounded them. So, you know, if you want to win a board game or win in life, you know, you got to seize the opportunities.
See, I think you're both like wrong here, though, for the application, because it's the focus isn't on Ahab or Moab. It's clearly on Israel. And the principle here is Israel, don't pick a king that's going to die. So if, you know, in life, don't
die. Otherwise, it's not life.
Exactly.
I don't know. Moral of the story is it's harder to get a bad application out of the Bible than I thought.
Yeah, which really says something about the skill and talent of a lot of these televangelists. Okay, well, we need to wrap up, but before we do, here's a message from this week's sponsor.
In this season of political uncertainty, it's time for new leadership.
I'm Uncle Eddie, and I'm running for president.
He's an outsider with political experience.
Back then, I used to mop up pancakes outside the White House.
He has the leadership skills we need.
I once led a troop of hockey players to the 1936 Panamanian Championship.
With real experience in small business.
When I was a kid, I sold those newspapers made of cheese on a fire truck for a nickel a month.
A long immigration record.
I first met Miss Immigration in 1934 on a cruise ship in Midwest Nebraska.
A clear stance on trade.
And then I traded a stick of bubblegum to an authentic Canadian Mountie at Churchill Downs in Kentucky for the secret recipe to the Prime Minister's favorite cheesecake. But that was back in the day when the cheesecake was called a Seattle Salt Shaker.
Uncle Letty, the change we need.
I'm Uncle Letty, and I approve of this ad, just like I approved of the ukulele man's necktie back in 43.
On behalf of the Hardwick brothers, Thank you for listening to this episode of the podcast. Music in this episode was by Bobby Prince, and this episode was edited by yours truly, Caleb Hardwick. Join us next week as we discuss Seth's Lego display, Noah's concert adventures, and the Acts 1-8 mission trip. But until then, thank you for listening. Have a nice day.